Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Dan McNeil. Danny Parkins.
Oh, here we go.
Afternoons on The Score.
This hour on The Score brought to you by Team Hochberg. Visit their new website, 56david.com. That's 56david.com. It's been way too long, Mac, since I've talked to this guy. He is one of the most interesting athletes I've ever had the pleasure of covering. He played for five teams over 12 years in the NFL, and he was recently reelected to his third term as the president of the NFL Players Association. That's the NFL Players Union. But he's no longer in the league. He's not playing anymore, but he still was elected unanimously as the president. And in his spare time, he's getting his MBA from Wharton. Eric Winston on The Score. What's up, Eric?
Danny, what's up, man? You're all grown up now. You got your own drive time show and everything.
Yeah, he's really on a heater, Eric.
Back home, man.
Never a doubt. Never a doubt.
Thank you, man. I appreciate you. What's life like for you? I know you kind of liked the union thing more than the playing thing towards the end of your career. So what's life like now?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's always been great. I've always had, I've always wanted to help, and I've always wanted to help players. And even as a young player, I saw some things going on and wanted to pitch in. And so this has been a great fit for me. Last off season, I wasn't sure if I was going to play again. So I ran again and towards close to camp wise. Yeah. I just decided it wasn't right and decided to go back to school. So I found a way to become even busier than when I was playing. So I'm doing school, doing the union thing, family, the whole nine, but it's good. I've enjoyed myself. It feels good to wake up on Mondays and not feel like you got in a car wreck, so that's also a plus.
We want to talk with you about long term, but right now, Eric, for your union, what is the most challenging issue you are attacking on a daily basis?
Well, I think I always think it's education, right? We, a third of our members turn over year to year, so you're constantly having to, in the NFL we call it day one installs, like the first thing you put in every season, right? Like that's your core package. Well, it's hard to get past day one install a lot because you have so much turnover going on with the guys. And that's just the nature of the business. I don't think, that's been pretty consistent for a long time. But, a lot of kids and a lot of people don't come from union backgrounds, don't come from that. So we have to educate on what the union does for you, why it's important, and what you're going to get out of it and what has happened in the past. Because obviously what's happened in the past will educate you on what can possibly happen in the future. So all of those things, I think, are big issues. And really, it comes down to that, is just getting guys to understand all the things they have now as far as benefits and everything, and understanding, what they need to do going forward.
Eric Winston's the president of the Players Union for the NFL, and he's with us now on The Score. So I'd say the question that fans care most about that's facing your union is, there's two more years guaranteed under the current CBA. How would you characterize the chances that we miss football in some form or fashion in 2021?
I don't know. 43.4%. Yeah, I don't know. It's one of those things where, if there's, and I've always done this ever since I got on it, but I'm going to meet everybody halfway, but that's got to be reciprocated, right? And so, I mean, I think at some point down the road here, we're going to get together with ownership and we're going to see if we can figure it out. No, nobody wants that. But, I also know that this is a copycat league. And, if someone sees something and thinks it's successful, they're going to copy it. So I'm also charged with getting my guys ready. And getting my guys ready means educating them on what a lockout looks like, what a strike looks like, what a work stoppage looks like, and getting them prepared. And hopefully if we can prepare for the worst and be prepared and show the other side that that this is, you know, that we're ready to roll, that obviously that prevents it. So I don't think anybody wants a work stoppage, but at the end of the day, we're telling our guys and we're explaining to our guys, history has a tendency to repeat itself, and so you got to be ready.
Yeah, because, I mean, you've got high-profile members of your union saying that they're willing to do it. I mean, you got Richard Sherman, you got Andrew Whitworth. You've got guys saying, we're willing to miss out. Now, those guys closer to the end of their career, and maybe it's tougher, easier to sell them than young players. But from my very informal polling of NFL guys that I talk to that are still in the league, it seems like they're more willing to potentially miss game checks.
Yeah, you know, there's an interesting dynamic that came out of 2011. And when I remember the lead up to 2011, I was a rep. And, you know, the leadership at the time was running around telling everybody, hey, listen, you're going to get locked out. We're going to get locked out. You got to be ready. And I don't know if everybody really believed it. You know, like, I think, it's come close before. I don't know. Something's going to happen. They'll strike a deal. And then when the deal didn't happen and everyone got locked out, they're like, oh, man, this is for real. Well, you know, that's lived on. Even if the players from the lockout necessarily, obviously there's been an attrition rate that's happened throughout the years with the lockout has, you know, taken its toll. Those stories have lived on in the locker room. Those stories have been passed down. And so I think everybody understands now much more than they did in the past the probability and the likelihood of something like that possibly happening. And so I don't think it's hard to tell guys, hey, listen, there's a chance you're going to get locked out. They say, oh yeah, just like my mentor did, or just like the older guys when they used to tell me about it. That it's an easier thing to explain to guys because it has been so recent, and they've seen it happen. It's a little bit more tangible to them.
Eric, we have been Danny and I have been kicking around the idea of the Bears dropping the ball this week on Kareem Hunt. The Browns beat them to the punch, and we had George McCaskey in the studio a few weeks ago with us, the Bears owner, and a lot of his answers seem to think he's living in a different decade. What would the union like to see? Its next CBA have language that is universal for disciplinary action, and there isn't the possibility of debate. Does he get 3? Does he get 6? Does he get 10? Is it a season? Right. Would you like to have uniformity?
Well, I think, you know, you look at the other sports, and these aren't issues because you see a clear process. And more than anything, you know, it's hard to say, oh, well, this equals that or that equals this. I do think that there needs to be a clear process because for so long now we're dealing with these cases, and that there's not a clear process involved. There's something that this guy has this process, this guy has this process, and it just messes everything up. And what we need is a clear process that obviously gets guys the help they need, because obviously if we're in a situation like that, they need to be helped. Obviously there's going to be some discipline action that comes from it. But at the end of the day, there has to be a process set forth so that like you said, it's uniform. Now, I don't know. I haven't thought that far ahead as far as are we going to have X equal Y. But I know that the process, without a clear and consistent process, you can't have standardized outcomes. And so that's really what I think needs to be focused on, is this idea of setting forth a process that can deal with any issue and take what – you know, what's happened with Kareem Hunt, any issue that's happened with law enforcement, that you can go forward and say, okay, this is an issue that happened with law enforcement, and it goes into this process, and we're going to have this come out of it because we know what's next, and we know what everybody is expected of.
Well, Eric, isn't there also like a fundamental issue of trust? Like how would you characterize in a macro sense, no specific issue, the players' relationship with the owners?
Yeah, it's tough. I mean, listen, you know, like I said, when I said that first thing, I'm going to have my hand out halfway, but it's got to be reciprocated. You know, it's got to be reciprocated. And that's what makes it hard. And a lot of times and we can go down the litany of list, whether it's commissioner discipline stuff, whether it's the financial stuff, like, you know, go back to Wave Gate, all of these issues that come up year after year after year after year. It makes it hard for me to go into a room and then go back and tell my guys and say, hey, listen, this is what they're saying. What do you think? Because they're all looking at me like I'm crazy. Like, listen, you're not going to trust that guy. And I get it. And I understand, because we've all seen it. We've all seen it happen. We've all seen what they've trying to do to players. It's not a player friendly league anymore. You know, and maybe at one day it was, but now they look at players as just the commodities, and that's unfortunate because the players make the game. And I think when you support the players and when the players do well, then the game does well and everybody does well. But that's the problem, is that we've got this thing where I don't know, like you said, there seems to be a lack of respect for players. And I hope that they're working towards changing that, but it's got to go further. And that's got to happen much more often. And we've got to see it much more for me to go into a room and be able to get a deal done. Because again, you've hit on a really sore subject to a lot of degrees. Like there has been, and there will be a lack of trust going forward if there still continues to be these subjective rules that end up getting put in place that look like there's favoritism from one team to the next.
Yeah, because you were joking when you said 43% chance, but in the New York Times you called it inevitable. Like there's bombastic language going around, I think, on both sides right now. Would you say that's fair to say?
Well, listen, you know, like I said to you, I've got to tell my guys what the likelihood of something happening is, right?
Sure.
And what I think they're going to do. Well, last time they beat their chest and they said, we're going to lock you out. I have no reason to believe that they're not going to do it this time. Now, hopefully that isn't the case. Nobody wants a work stoppage. But again, I've got to prepare my guys and say, listen, this is what they did last time. I have no reason to believe they're going to change their bargaining manner. Now, maybe I'll be wrong, and I hope I am wrong. And I hope we can figure it out halfway. But at the end of the day, I've got to be prepared for what I think could come down the pipe. And listen, like I said, it's a copycat league. I have no reason to believe that won't be the case.
Eric Winston, top of the NFL Players Association, with us on the McNeil and Parkin Show on The Score. In Canada last fall, Eric, marijuana became recreationally allowable. The AMA says, you know what? It has medicinal properties for those who need the benefit. Where's your level of optimism that the next CBA will not force players to have to pee in a cup when they report to training camp?
Well, there's two sides to the – well, not two sides, but there's two parts to the – to the drug testing, right? You have PEDs, performance-enhancing drugs, and I think if you ask any player, do you want a level playing field, and no one taking, you get a yes. And now you go on to the substance of abuse. Obviously, marijuana falls into there, and now you get, obviously, a lot of different answers, and which probably, not, if we're all being honest with you, it's probably not too many different answers there. I think society's changing, and I think we're starting to see the effects of, let's say, non-marijuana pills and all these other things wreaking havoc through society. And quite frankly, I've had friends and people I've played with that have struggled with it after surgeries, getting hooked on opioids and things like that. Now, I'm not going to sit here and say, oh, well, then smoking weed's the right thing to do, because I don't know that to be a fact. Now, I know that to be, it's not nearly as addictive as the other stuff. But what I'm concerned about is, what's happening in which guys feel like they need to do that to keep working? If you're hurt, then you're hurt and you need to get better. But the idea of we need to educate our guys better on what it means to be hurt, because I think for a long time we've convinced guys that if your knee's blown up, that it's still okay to practice. It's not. You're hurting yourself for the long term. So we've got to start saying, hey, listen, we understand that football is going to be a contact sport and there's going to be a need for some sort of pain relief possibly. But we need to tackle step one first, because I think that's step three. Step one is, okay, what's your injury and why do you feel like you need that? And if you feel like you need that, then we probably shouldn't be practicing, right? We probably shouldn't be playing, because those are the injuries that lead to the long-term stuff that we're having problems with. And I think we need to have a better understanding, and the guys need to have a better understanding of, hey, if you need to suck down three pills to get through this practice, then we need to start from step one and say, listen, you probably shouldn't be practicing, and here's why.
And that's still prevalent in the game.
Well, I think you see the, listen, you've been in the locker rooms. You've seen the mixtures and the things that guys, and sometimes it's just, you know, you got the NO explode and you're just, you know, you're getting a little fuel going for practice just to get it going. But at the same time, I've seen there's plenty of guys, obviously, that feel the need to go out there and say, oh, I gotta take this to feel right, or I gotta do this. Well, let's talk about why you feel like that way. And if you're hurting, let's call it what it is. It's an injury, and that's okay.
Right.
And we can deal with that. There's protocols to deal with that. There's everything. There's a process to deal with that. But let's call it what it is, and not a bumps and bruises, and which we're, you know, hurting our long term health for.
Eric, so there's two more things I want to get into, and we only have a couple of minutes left. Again, Eric Winston, president of the NFL Players Association. I don't know the answer to this. What's the union's relationship with Colin Kaepernick now that he's out of the league? And do you have any idea of when the collusion lawsuit could end, or an expectation of how it's going to go?
I am not the mediator, so I couldn't tell you. Obviously, you know, there's some expectations. I don't want to speak about the lawsuit just, you know, because it is pending and everything. Listen, we've been supporting Colin's collusion case, quite frankly, because we think he has a case, and we're going to continue to support him and support the case to its conclusion, or until Colin, you know, decides he wants to do something. But that's up to Colin, and again, we're going to support him full-throatedly, just like we support any of our other members.
And I mean, I also know from talking to players that that's a big part. It's just a contributing factor, but it is a big part in some of the player anger about the state of the league right now. Fair to say?
Oh, of course. Yeah, there's a lot of guys that look at that and say, hey, listen, you know, XYZ has a job, you know, Colin doesn't have a job. Why is that? And I think there is, again, that goes back to the distrust issue. That goes back to a lot of these issues that, again, it's very paternalistic in the sense of, you know, we know better than you and all of this. And it's just, it reeks of, again, everything that's gone on over the last few years.
And then in the New York Times piece that I referenced earlier, you were talking about facilities and how there is a difference among the league in terms of like where players are treated best and invested in the most. You mentioned that you had a great deal of respect for Bob Kraft and the Patriots, the Rooney family in Pittsburgh. And then you said something to the effect of, and then there are some teams where it's like, you know, here's a peanut butter and jelly sandwich for everybody. I'm curious, what is the reputation of the Bears and the McCaskey family among your union?
That's interesting. Well, you know, the Bears, aren't the, as I think everybody knows, isn't the most union supporting a team. That's for sure. The lack of access is obviously frustrating when you're literally going there to just try to help your guys. We'll see. You know, we've put out some questions to our guys, and we're gathering actually some information right now to do the day to day stuff. You know, what's the food like? What is trying to make it very objective? What's the laundry situation? All of these things that I think a lot of people just assume are basic things that everybody gets. That, you know, if I tell you whatever, like I remember when I was in Arizona and that's referenced in the article, the cold tub was like 6 feet deep. Well, obviously you had to get a stool to get in so you didn't go all the way up to your neck. You know, that's a professional franchise. Now they fixed that there, and I want to be fair to them. But that's the things that people don't, you know, really get is you think that it's, you know, the Taj Mahal is everywhere you go. And some places, again, do a great job with their guys. Some places don't. So, you know, maybe I'll come back on and when we've gathered enough information, we can talk about the Bears a little bit.
Okay. Yeah, I would love it because you did giggle. You did chuckle when we mentioned
that
you had George McCaskey in studio. So, yeah.
Well, the Bears are hard on the union. I'll be the first one to say that. They're, again, we have guys, we have our directors that go out and try to help guys and talk to them, and they're given limited access, and they're the Bears are usually on the top of the list of trying to make our lives tough. And it's just I giggle because it's unfortunate, and it's you know, it's frustrating from that standpoint of we're there trying to help the guys, but yet there's limited access. They're treated, I would say, poorly. Our directors are treated poorly, not the players. The directors are treated poorly, and it's just you know, it's childish, quite frankly. But that doesn't go to the facilities and things like that. So hopefully, we'll have a comprehensive idea for you coming up.
Yeah, whenever you have it, we'd love to have you back, man. It's been way too long. I've dropped the ball on it, but it's good to talk to you, man, and it's really cool to see the respect you have of your peers and how universal it is. So keep up the good work, man, and let's not make it so long until we talk again.
Absolutely. I appreciate it, guys. Thanks for having me.
Thanks, Eric.
That's Eric Winston. He's the president of the NFL Players Association.
I never want to get in a 3-foot cold tub, let alone a 6-footer.
Yeah.
That's remarkable. There are still NFL teams that have minor league hockey facilities for their athletes.
Crazy, right? He's a smart guy running the NFL Players Association. Appreciate Eric Winston for coming on the show today. Dan Landers made his triumphant return at 3 o'clock.
Have a good night. Go Blackhawks.
Feel better, buddy.
Thank you, sir.
Don't puke anymore. Nick Shepkowski, our executive producer. Fantastic work, as always. Chris Tannehill runs the sound on this thing, making us sound good. He's the best in the business. We've got basketball coming up. Illinois against Ohio State. For Dan McNeil, I'm Danny Parkins. That makes us McNeil and Parkins. This is The Score.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.